Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Jones.
It's for the...
Hey, people call Brian Long.
You tell us your name, please.
Brian Long.
What do you do for a living, Mr. Long?
I am a forensic scientist with the Illinois State Police at the Springfield Forensic Science Laboratory.
Is there a specific area that you specialize?
Yes, I specialize in the examination of latent prints.
In this case, were you first given an item and asked to determine if there were any latent prints on a particular item?
Yes.
And was that a 409 carpet?
Yes, that was one item.
And I'm handing them to have available. And you learned his people. Is it three? Was that the can that you asked to determine if there were any late prints on the item?
Yes, it is.
Can you tell me that process, how you look for late prints on physical item?
This particular item, it was a spray can. I took it out of the packaging and first did a visual examination to see if there were any prints that I could see prior to me doing any processing on it. After that, I attempted some processing techniques to try to develop latent prints on the item, such as superglue fuming, where the fumes from superglue will adhere to any residue that's left behind on the item, making the prints more visible. After that, I applied powder using a brush or dusting for prints. And after that process, I applied two different dye stains and examined the spray can using both laser light and ultraviolet light, looking for the presence of latent prints.
When you did that process, were you able to find latent or any?
Yes, I was able to find one suitable latent print on People's Exhibit 3.
Once you find that latent print, what's your next step in determining that print?
Once I've found the latent print, I then compare it to any known prints that are given to me.
And in this case, was there a known print from the defendant, Brian Lee?
Yes, there was.
Did you compare the latent print?
Your Honor, I never received these reports. I do not have them in my possession. In approximately a little bit over a year and a half, I've still... have received them.
Well, at this point, we'll ask the jury to step out. Objection. Again, you had not received these reports, so.
No, Your Honor, I do not have these reports.
I believe I've entitled for them.
I do not have them in digital either.
All right, Mr. Jones, care to respond?
Judge, discovery number 13. Provided to them. It's date stamp 0484 and it's copy. Show that and bank stamp that show that it was discovered to him. I would also point out to the court that the defendant asked for at one point an expert and money to hire his own expert in fingerprints. So for him to suggest he doesn't have to report would seem to belittle his previous request. He wanted his own expert to specifically confront this information from
I apologize, Your Honor. I have a report as far as a laboratory report finding. I do not have any digital information. I do not have pictures of the print. I do not have any analyzations. All I have is just the report, Your Honor.
That's the report.
The report is not a full disclosure of discovery concerning this item. Report is simply the findings. I'm sure I should be entitled to the rest as well. I've gotten everything else, I believe, except for report 12 in digital. That was the copies I had Mr. Nelson make earlier. They were digital copies. A simple report just tells that there was a finding, Your Honor. It don't give any detail.
Does that report disclose what the finding was, Mr. Young?
Yes.
All right. So your objection is overruled. The items in the state of possession have been provided to you, being the report and conclusion therein. Mr. John, are we ready to have the jury brought back in?
I don't know. Guess what?
I'm sorry?
It's not fair.
All right. And so, Mr. Jones, if you would repeat the question.
Or back to base starts back. I'm not really sure where we were. I think where we left off was that you had found the latent print on that 409, that carpet cleaner can. And I had asked you if you had a Paris print from Bradley on to compare the latent.
That's correct.
And you did have a comparison print from the defendant to compare the latent. Is that right?
Yes, I did.
When you compared the latent print that was found on that 409 can to the known standard, the print from the defendant, Bradley on, what did you find?
I found that the latent print on the spray can in People's Exhibit 3 was made by the person whose fingerprints appear on the card marked Bradley S. Yon.
In your role with the Illinois State Police, we've talked about how, in the first piece of evidence, you look for the latent printers. Are there also occasions where latent prints are recovered by an agency and they are sent to a latent print?
Yes.
In this case, did that happen as well?
Yes, it did.
Specifically, were there latent prints sent to you in digital format as well as friction rigids from the Illinois State Police from a Toyota Avalon family?
Yes.
And asked journalists to approach you with the Martis People's Exhibit 13. Were those the photographs, friction rigids, latent prints that you provided from the Illinois State Police?
Yes.
Specifically, in the file, was there a latent print on the exterior driver's door handle,
as shown in People's Exhibit 54 at the Jones Exhibit and People's Exhibit 55?
Yes, there were.
Did you compare the latent print that was found on the exterior door handle of that Toyota Avalon to the known standard from the defendant Bradley?
Yes, I did.
What did you find about the latent print on that Toyota Avalon to the print from the defendant Bradley?
I found that the latent print from the exterior door handle was made by the person whose prints appear on the card marked Bradley S. Yon.
Was there also a palm print found on the, was there also a print found on the driver's side on the back passenger door?
Yes, there was.
Did you compare that print to the print on the card marked Bradley Yon, the defendant?
Yes.
What did you find about the print on the driver's side back passenger door of that Toyota Avalon?
I found that that latent print on the back passenger door was made by the person whose prints appear on the card marked Bradley S. Yon.
On the left side of the passenger, left side of the door on the passenger side of the car in People's Exhibit 56, was there a palm print that was found?
Yes, there was.
And did you compare that palm print to a palm print on a card marked palm print of Bradley Yon?
Yes, I did.
What did you find when you compare the palm print on the Toyota Avalon to the palm print on the card of your team?
I found that the palm print on the passenger side left of the door, that palm print was made by the person whose palm prints appear on a card marked Bradley S. Yon.
We also asked to examine a knife to see if there are any prints that could be found on the knife.
Yes.
Now, when you looked at that knife, were you optimistic about getting prints on the handle of that knife? That's a bad question. Sure. Let me reframe the question. When prints, is it easier to get prints off of a smooth surface or a rough surface?
It is easier to find prints on a smooth surface.
And if it's the surface is rough, does it make it more difficult or more unlikely the prints will be left?
Yes.
Did you look at a particular knife in this?
Yes, I did.
And did you look at the handle of the knife?
Yes, I did.
What did you find with regard to the handle of the knife?
that particular knife had like some kind of cord wrapped around the handle.
And in your experience with Illinois State Police, and specifically in the area of fingerprints, was that a good surface or a likely surface to contain things?
The handle was not a good surface for me to find latent prints.
In fact, did you find any latent prints?
Objection, Your Honor.
Grounds?
This is irrelevant. There's been no test done or no... There's been nothing concerning prints on a cloth-corded handle, and we've already cleared up that there was no DNA from either defendant on this cloth-corded handle. What is Mr. Jones getting at?
Well, I haven't heard any evidence about DNA on a cloth-covered handle, so the jury instructed to disregard your statement in that regard, but I will overrule your objection. Let me answer the question.
Were there any prints that you found on the knife?
No, there were no latent prints suitable for comparison on the knife.
Thank you. All the questions I had.
Any cross-examination, Mr. Young?
In reference to 409, can you stated you observed a fingerprint, correct?
That's correct.
I can't hold that with one finger, could I? I can't. It's not possible to hold that cane with one finger. It's
objection, Your Honor, relevant.
Relevance is there's alleged to be found a fingerprint on a can.
I'll overrule the objection. You may answer if you know.
It could be possible if you could balance it. Good at balancing it.
And did you, in order to hold that can like I am right now, you would expect more than one fingerprint, correct?
I don't expect any fingerprints. I'm looking for some. I don't always find prints.
And on that can, you analyze the whole can, the diameter of the can, where one would hold a can at, any spot on that can. I do see it possible that one could hold a can and drop it, and there'd be prints left. I don't concede that.
Is there a question, Mr. Young?
Yes, there is. Your Honor, I'm attempting to form it. I apologize. I find this pretty ridiculous, so I'm attempting to...
Objection, Your Honor. Again, Mr. Young, you're to ask the witness questions, not...
On that can, did you find any smears where there might have been fingerprints, where there might have been fingers holding it?
I didn't make note of that. I only make note of when I find a suitable print to compare.
And when I mean smears, I want to clarify, if I was to drop a can, the right fingerprint would have smeared, potentially. You didn't find any of that, and you didn't look for it, right?
I didn't make a note of anything like that.
Thank you, Mr. Long. That's all I have, Your Honor.
Any redirect?
No, Your Honor.
Does the state have any further witnesses at this time?
No, Your Honor.
At this point, the people would have rest for this. Mr. Young, you care to present any evidence?
Officer Ruth Bowden.
All right, if we could have Officer Ruth Bowden brought to the court.
There was a 911 call made. You're obviously aware of that, or else you would not have responded to the scene, correct?
Correct.
Are you aware that CL denied services?
Objection, Your Honor. Seems facts not in evidence and call for hearsay.
All rule. You may answer the question. Are you aware that CL denied services in such call?
I'm not sure what your question.
Are you aware that CL denied ambulatory services when someone made a phone call?
I'm not aware.
I want to go back a little bit in reference to CL. She was sitting on the floor. How did she appear other than frantic? Physically, how did she appear?
She was sitting kind of odd with her legs to the side. I do remember that. And I mean, appeared she'd been crying. Didn't seem real happy. I mean, yeah. I'd never met her before, but she seemed distraught, in my opinion.
And you say that in your report and your reference to the cabinet, you stated that there was a kitchen cabinet that had been gone through. Could you describe that?
I don't recall.
It wasn't an open door or a drawer, maybe?
Whatever's in my report, I don't recall the exact details.
While you were there, while CL was still on the floor, or after being picked up, helped up to the couch, did you observe any blood?
Are you asking on her or in the area or?
On her or?
Okay. In the area anyway.
I do remember what appeared to be a reddish smears, kind of, there was a green fabric chair, which would have been in between the kitchen area into the living room. So it would have been slightly into the living room area. And there were some reddish smears kind of below it, kind of in front of it below.
I apologize for trying to go in depth. Your report is very minimal. It's...
Objection, Your Honor. Argumentative, calling the report minimal.
Right. Well, if we could ask you with this question, Mr. Young.
Yes, sir. And it appears she was bleeding a lot.
I don't know if she was bleeding. I just said I saw red smears. I'm not sure if it was blood or not.
It probably wasn't enough to certify it as blood, right?
I don't know.
Then you talk about the chair, the green plaid chair. Was there any blood on that chair?
I don't know if there was blood, but there was like a discoloration on it.
Your Honor, if I could, I'd like to present a couple of exhibits.
Are you needing the bailiff to take those with us? Okay.
Because it would be a close-up up in chair and...
Judge, can we get an exhibit number?
Do you have these labeled as defendant's exhibits, Mr. Young?
On the exhibit number 74, and they're under image 2341 and 2340.
All right. Have you marked on the documents handed to the witness defendant's exhibit?
No, Your Honor, I did not have time. However, I do have them marked here in digital. And then I have provided the images with the state's attorneys also.
We can have the bailiff return the exhibits to Mr. Yar so he can mark them as trial exhibits, defendant's exhibit. And then if you would try your best to number them sequentially so we can keep track of what's been admitted and what's not and what exhibits you're referring to at the trial. This is the jury that can review and deliberate, as well as any appellate court who would have to reference those exhibits in the future. Now, Mr. Bailiff, I might assist us by providing him with the defendant exhibit status. Like to use the stickers, just place those on the document you're going to be handing to the witness. And there's a blank if you want to put whichever number you want to reference those.
Exhibit number one and number two. Images 2345 and 2339.
So if the mail could return the now marked exhibits to the witness. Mr. Young, if you would continue with your question.
You remember getting to that chair?
Yes.
But is that the green plaid chair you're speaking of?
It appears to be. These are black and white, but I believe it's the same pattern.
Your Honor, may I admit these into evidence?
An objection?
No, Your Honor.
All right. So defendants number one and number two are admitted with no objection.
Your Honor, here is 2339. And that would be one of the exhibits you hold in your hand, correct?
Correct.
And that would be the other one, 2345.
Correct.
And does there appear to be any blood there?
I don't know if there it would be blood, but it appears to be a discoloration.
You stated that officers helped her to crouch upon getting off the floor, right?
Somebody did, yes.
And you stated that she was bleeding also. Or it appeared that she was bleeding, right?
I don't know if she was bleeding or not.
Your Honor, if I may, I'd like to present Exhibits 3 and 4. And are them the... Is that the couch that you remembered?
Yeah, I believe that was on a far wall like an opposite wall from the chair.
Approximately 6 to 8 feet, as you stated, away from the chair.
I'm going to guess that, yes.
This doesn't appear to be any blood on that couch, is there?
I can't tell. There's a dark colored, looks like a blanket there, so I don't know what's under the blanket, but.
Your Honor, first I had a couple questions. In reference to her seated on that couch, you said you'd obviously been there for a while, right? You've been on the scene for a while. You stayed there for quite some time.
I was there for some time.
So you were in and out, and you, after she was helped up off the floor to the couch, you probably observed her on the couch at times.
It's yeah, it's something.
And did she appear to be relaxed and seated back, or was she?
I don't recall.
Tense, straight.
I don't recall.
You don't recall. Do you recall what end of the couch she may have been sitting at from memory or even from your pictures?
I really don't recall.
Your Honor, may I permit place the exhibits into evidence?
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
To defendant's exhibits number 3 and 4 are admitted without objection.
That would be the couch there, Fred.
Yes, that is the same one as the photos. It's the same one as the photos.
And that one would also be?
Yes, it is.
And there's no coloration that you can determine there. Correct? I apologize. The screen's a bit different than the one. But you obviously...
I don't see anything right there, no.
But to clarify that, you were there long enough that she left for the hospital and you were still around the scene. Obviously, walking through or doing what y'all had to seeing after she raised up off that couch, did you see any discoloration or blood or anything?
I don't recall.
But if it was red, you would have probably noticed it, right?
I might have.
I'd like to speak on the home overall. So you observed the home, so you could tell that there was obviously an abundance of items there, right?
It was a large house.
Some. Maybe even a lot being breaks, true?
I don't recall.
Were there a lot of glass, figurines, ceramic, potentially?
I don't recall.
Based on your observing of such scene, it did not appear to be dirty, as you stated earlier. It did not appear to be dirty?
There were sections that were, you know, not to the normal, but the overall house seemed to be pretty clean.
The overall house seemed to be pretty clean. What sections you would probably say kitchen and the bedroom appeared not to be normal?
I would say the kitchen with the knife and the carpet cleaner lying on the ground did not appear normal. And in the basement with some of the drawers open did not appear to be normal.
The home appeared to be as if it was lived in.
Correct.
And you did state there were several haunted, including family. Taking into account you being first on scene, being there until approximately 9:30 p.m. or even later, you were of knowledge of people being in scene and their interaction, true? You're of knowledge of their interaction with the scene?
Of whose?
Deputies, the daughters.
I mean, I don't know what everybody was doing at all times, if that's what you're asking.
What was anybody doing?
I can count for myself. I know there was other people on scene.
I'm going to read off a list of persons, and you acknowledge if these were in fact there. Heidi Young would be a daughter.
I believe so.
Her by name, but she was there.
I believe she was.
And Ilsa Tara?
I believe she was. Daughter.
Lohmeyer?
Yes. Sergeant Lohmeyer was.
Sergeant Lohmeyer. Sheriff Wagner, who was sheriff at the time.
Correct.
Chief Deputy Goodwin, or was it Smith?
I'm not sure about them.
Yourself?
Correct.
Deputy Sergeant McMahon?
Yes.
Husband Schmidt?
Who?
Husband Tim Schmidt?
Timothy Schmidt, yes.
Deputy Shoney?
Yes.
Kelsey Miller?
Investigator Miller. Yeah, she was there at one point.
Yes, I apologize. The possibility that Deputy Shackleton was there.
I don't believe so.
Deputy Bowden, you secured the scene here. You secured the scene.
I didn't, just myself. I know Sergeant Lohmeyer was there, and then other people came later.
I want to ask you once more, you're aware of the claims CL made, such as home invasion, hijacking, kidnapping, among others, correct?
Correct.
And sexually assaulted a number of times, thrown downstairs. Would I be correct in assuming thrown downstairs?
I didn't talk to her myself very much. I know Sergeant Lohmeyer did, and that's why in my report I know I had to refer to his.
Though you don't know, I would like to ask, did she appear? CL was a 77-year-old woman. Did she appear to be thrown downstairs?
I don't know.
Debbie, these are some very serious claims. They're extremely serious. You yourself, did you urge CL to go to the hospital?
Did I urge her? No. When we get on scene, we're concerned, obviously, about her safety with the allegations. And also, we're trying to look for, get information about a suspect. Because obviously, if there's suspects out, we're concerned about the safety of the public in general.
I have just a few more questions, Jeffy Logan. In Adams County, what is the standard procedure for securing a crime scene such as this?
I know we get there and I generally do whatever my supervisor tells me to.
Do you all take the scene on? Do you all block the scene out from other intruders or persons entering?
I know I do whatever my sergeant asks me to, whatever their protocol is.
And that night, what did your sergeant ask you to do?
We were just there by ourselves initially, so we went inside and obviously spoke to her briefly and talked to Timothy Schmidt, the caller.
And your sergeant was?
Sergeant Joe Lohmeyer.
Deputy, it interests me that approximately 10 people were in this scene, this very serious and heinous scene.
Objection, Your Honor, is there a question?
I'm asking a question. Is that proper?
I'm not sure. Like I said, I follow what my sergeant tells me to do.
And ISP, they, Brainfield ISP, she arrived around 9 p.m.
I'm not sure.
You're not sure? Where was the proper procedure at in this matter?
Objection, Your Honor, argumentative.
Sustain the objection. She's already testified. She's not aware of what that would be, Mr.
Yon. That's all I have, Your Honor.
Any cross?
No, Your Honor.
All right. You missed it. Thank you.
Your Honor, I'd ask that this one may take quite a while.
So we've still got quite a while left in the day, Mr. Yon. Do you have one ready?
Could I use the restroom? Yes, possibly. June 30th.
We'll go. Yeah, and we didn't get started until not too long ago. In fact, it was precisely at 1:37. So we'll take a 10-minute recess. The bailiff would accompany the jury to the jury assembly room. Mr. Yon, you were calling your next witness, say Sheriff Wagner, correct?
Yes, ex-Sheriff Wagner, Mr. Rich Wagner.
All right, is ex-Sheriff Rich Wagner available?
Not to my knowledge, Your Honor.
All right.
Your Honor, if he had a subpoena to be here that was delivered to them, if I may, I have a bill approaching the fee.
Sure. Let me take a look. All right. Mr. Young has passed up a subpoena. That is People's State of Illinois versus Bradley S. Young, 21 CF-715. Reads, people of the state of Illinois to the sheriff of Adams County. Greetings to Sheriff Rich Wagner, Adams County, Illinois. We command you, each of you personally, to be and appear before the said court in courtroom number blank at the courthouse in Quincy, forthwith, on the blank day of blank, A.D. 2000 blank, at the hour of blank, dot him, to testify and the truth to speak in relation to a certain matter in controversy now pending and undetermined in said circuit court between the people of the state of Illinois
Plaintiff and Bradley Scott Young, defendant blank at the instance of said blank, laying aside all pretense and excuses whatsoever under penalty of what the law directs, issued by Lori R. Gershwander, clerk of the Circuit Court of Adams County, this 10th day of July, 2023. It indicates that there was service on Rich Wagner on July 11th of 2023 by Tony Groughton, sheriff. And by Caleb, can't read the last name, but number 39, deputy. So, Mr. Young, how was sheriff or retired sheriff Rich Wagner to know what day and time he was to appear to testify pursuant to this subpoena, given there's no date and time on it?
Obviously, he would, Your Honor. We'll move on to the next.
All right.
Although I really need him.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Your next witness be?
Could I have officer, investigator, deputy,
he's the bailiff today, and has returned the subpoena to the defendant. Who's your next witness?
Deputy Summers, Jared Summers.
All right, is Deputy Jared Summers present?
He is, Your Honor.
All right, so let's recall the juror.
For the record, the jurors have returned to the jury box, and Mr. Young was calling his next witness on behalf of the defense, Jared Summer.
Good to have Jared Summers. Mr. Young, when you're ready with your questions.
Mr. Summers, can you state your name, badge, and everything?
Jared Summers, Sam 31.
You're in an occupation with Adams County Sheriff's Department, right?
Yes.
And what do you do?
I'm assigned to the West Central Illinois Drug Task Force and also the U.S. Marshals Fugitive Task Force.
You were working on the night of November 9th of 2021, correct?
Yes.
Can you relate to us a bit of the events that occurred that night?
I got a call from Sergeant McMahon. He told me that we had an incident, and I arrived to the scene.
And what scene was that?
Two down on North Bottom Road to the scene that we're here for.
And can you explain briefly what that scene was in reference
to? Sergeant McMahon told me it was in reference to a home invasion and get there. So I was off duty at the time, so I responded as fast as I could.
Arriving there, do you remember what time you arrived?
I believe it was a little after 7 p.m.
And upon arriving there, could you go in depth on what you proceeded to do after arriving?
Sergeant McMahon advised me that a whitish or silver Toyota was stolen from the residence, and he asked me to go look for surveillance cameras and to see if we saw where the Toyota went.
You obviously talked to Sergeant McMahon there at the scene outside your vehicle, correct?
Yes.
And where was that at in reference to the scene?
I don't remember, in the driveway somewhere.
Was there any other officers there that time?
Yes.
Could you recollect who?
I remember Investigator Shoney, Investigator Miller, Sergeant McMahon, Sergeant Lohmeyer, and Deputy Bowden.
And you state Deputy Miller was there?
Investigator Miller, yes.
Investigator Miller. You didn't see any other persons, citizens of the community?
There was, towards the garage, I saw some other people, don't know who they were. I wasn't up close to the house.
Well, have you ever had any habits or been around the husband, Mr. Timothy Schmidt?
No.
You do not know him?
No.
Have you ever met the victim or declarant in this case, CL?
No. And you did not see her that night?
No.
So you didn't enter the scene?
Nope. I was just basically at the driveway for 5 minutes, if that.
And you received the canvas, the area for possible camera sightings of the defendant or the stolen vehicle, correct?
Yes.
Could you relate to us after canvassing the local area what you did after that?
Didn't find any surveillance cameras. I believe I went back to the scene very briefly. Sergeant McMahon advised me possible suspects of the defendant and Karen Blackledge. So I went back to the sheriff's office and started digging into them.
After starting to dig into possible suspects, as you stated, can you further proceed into what you did after that?
Looked in our database and figure out basically ties of where they frequent, if they have ties from Quincy, just anywhere like that. And I came that they had ties in Springfield.
And further on, if you would, anything else in reference to the case here at hand?
Later on, when the investigators got back to the sheriff's office, we wrote a probable cause report and then got a hold of Mr. Jones and advised him of the situation and then met him the next morning.
You didn't go in search of, or were you given any other information during that time in reference to the suspects?
Yes, I did. When I was doing the searching on our database, I realized that Karen Blackledge was a possible suspect in a vehicle theft earlier that day.
And you proceeded to do what after that?
I got a hold of the Quincy Police Department officer that handled that. He told me about it, and I watched surveillance cameras of the incident.
And in the surveillance cameras, can you relate what you saw?
Yeah, I saw a black female, which I knew to be Karen Blackledge. She went up to, it was that instant replay. She went up to instant replay's front door and then walked to the truck, got in the truck, and drove away.
And Karen Blackledge was the only one you saw?
Yes.
How much of that camera footage did you review?
I don't know.
Enough to tell that it only her friend.
Yes.
You were obviously giving this camera footage later on after checking the database for information. Were you relayed approximately when that vehicle, I believe it was a GMC, a turquoise blue GMC, was stolen from Mr. Replay?
That was in the morning, I believe, between 10 to noon.
Did you get a call in about suspects being sighted?
Yes.
And where were they sighted?
The Toyota was sighted at Hannibal gas station. Hannibal Police Department tried to stop that vehicle, and that vehicle fled from them. And then later on, I don't remember what road, but Illinois State Police also observed the vehicle, and the vehicle fled from them also after trying to conduct a traffic stop.
And upon trying to conduct a traffic stop in Illinois, do you remember approximately what time these occurrences were?
No.
Was it later in the night or?
I was still working, so I don't know when it was.
What time did you quit work that?
I do not know.
Would it have been after 8 p.m.?
Yes.
So that's approximately two and a half, maybe even 3 hours after the occurrence.
I guess I got on scene a little after 7, so that's what I remember.
Do you have any knowledge as to when this alleged crime at 4300 Bottle Road happened?
I'm not sure.
And you did say that a vehicle theft was from earlier in the day, true?
From that day, yes.
Based on your review of that video, can you tell us what the description of that black female was, what she may have been wearing?
I don't remember the description. Remember, it was a black female. When I looked at the surveillance, I knew it was Karen Blackledge.
You couldn't reference to the color, maybe, of the clothing?
I haven't seen the video in close to 2 years, so no, I don't know.
How did she approve being that video? So you work, obviously, in a drug task force. And you've known Karen for quite some time. How did she appear to be in this video?
I don't remember. I just remember her walking towards the door and then walking back to the vehicle and leaving it.
You state that you didn't see the defendant myself in that video. Could it be possible that he wasn't even present?
I don't know.
And Mr. Summers, onto the Phillips 66 video. Were you able to see that?
I don't remember if I looked at it or not.
Have you since been given any other information on this alleged criminal act?
What do you mean?
Any details as to what happened? I understand you work in law enforcement. Is there possibility you've talked to others concerning this act? You could shed some light on it.
Like, as
object at this point, Your Honor, if he's asking for what somebody else has told him about this act, that would be hearsay.
Sustain, you can rephrase the question.
The sightings of defendants, I'm going to change the line of question clue. The sightings of defendants, did the car, the white Toyota Avalon, they were an hour later, you stated after 8 o'clock, correct?
That would be my guess, yes.
Do you know approximately how long it takes to get from Quincy, Illinois to Hannibal?
I would say 30 minutes, 35 minutes.
So, if this alleged crime happened at 5:28, which you're not sure, I've just given you knowledge, and then suspects departed around 6 p.m., that would leave enough time for one to change clothes, maybe take a shower, make it to Hannity, maybe make it to Hannity.
Objection leading.
Sustained.
2 hours. Would be enough to make it to Hannibal, correct?
Yes.
David Summers, I'd like to talk about the scene of the arrest.
I'm going to object, Your Honor. The witness said he was never at the scene of the arrest. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Scene of the arrest. I withdraw my objection.
Deputy Summers, Investigator Summers, as I said, I'd like to talk about the scene of the arrest. You and other officers were notified that the defendant, myself, and alleged co-defendant were arrested in Springfield, Illinois, correct?
Correct.
And you traveled to Springfield, Illinois, true?
Yes.
You also traveled with other officers?
Yes.
Can you state who you traveled with?
I rode with Sergeant McMahon and Investigator Shoney and Investigator Miller rode with each other.
Do you recall approximately what time you left for Springfield?
Shortly after the defendant was taken into custody is when we left.
And this was the following day, right?
Yes.
On the 10th of November.
Yes.
And officers of the U.S. Marshals Service gathered info, which you're also part of, true?
Yes.
And they gathered off info on the defendant and found that he and Blackledge were potentially at 906 East Cornell, true?
I'm not sure the exact address, but I believe so.
And that was, do you recall who provided that information?
We knew the defendant was at Jamal's store the day prior. TFO Von Baron, who works with the U.S. Marshals, spoke to the defendant's ex-girlfriend. She stated if he was in Springfield, he would be at Randy Young's residence, which is approximately 0.7 miles from Jamal's.
So you're familiar with the area then?
Yes.
And upon arriving to Springfield, what did you proceed to do?
I went to the scene on where the defendant was apprehended.
Upon arriving to that scene, obviously the defendant was already in custody of the local police station, correct?
Correct.
And at that scene, what did you first enter the scene?
Well, first entering was an unrelated incident to this case that we believe, but I'm not for sure. And then later, I spoke to a detective with Springfield Police Department, and she kind of showed me the area of where the defendant was apprehended.
And can you repeat that again about the unrelated incident?
And there was a vehicle there that there was a dead body in the alley where the defendant was apprehended, and that's what it is.
And that was approximately a property and a half over in a public alleyway forever.
Yeah.
And you stated that it's unrelated to the defendant myself.
I'm not for sure, but that's from my understanding, yes.
What is coincidence true?
Yeah.
One wouldn't expect to be looking for someone in these matters and come across a body in close proximity like that, would they?
Well, what's the question?
If you were looking for a suspect such as myself for these criminal acts, you wouldn't expect a coincidence such as that being that close to the scene of a rape.
Doing this job since 2012, I think anything's possible.
Anything's possible, but it's a very big coincidence, true.
Anything's possible, yes.
You were shown around the scene by Springfield Police, correct?
Yes.
What did he show you outside of the coincidence? What did he show you in reference to the scene?
Next to an RV, he just kind of showed me around. I do remember on a chair that there was a purse that the defendant was wearing during he was apprehended.
Can you speak on any procedure you took while there at that time, or did you just observe by eyesight?
I observed. I was more just listening to Sergeant McMahon and what he wanted me to do at that time.
In reference to that purse on the chair, were you able to, at that time, identify anything in that purse?
At that time, no.
In your report, you state that Sergeant Henson showed us around the scene. And while Sergeant Henson was showing us the scene, he could have in plain view a chair which was outside the purse Jan was wearing. Right?
Yeah.
And then you went and applied for a search warrant?
Investigator Shoney did.
You didn't identify or see anything on that chair other than the purse, true?
I don't remember if it was at that time, but I do remember what was in the purse. I'm not sure if I remember it was after we came back to the place, to the residence, or at that moment. But
and what was in the purse?
In the purse, there was U.S. currency, jewelry, a voter's ID card with Christina Lohman's name on it, and I believe the Toyota keys, and then also checks from ABS to Christina Lohman.
And they included the item in the order.
I believe so, yes.
I want to jump over to processing a scene quickly. When you process a scene, you take pictures, correct?
Yes.
And how do you do that procedure? Do you place hands on items before you take the picture, or do you take the pictures first?
So we take overall pictures of the whole scene, everything at, from top to bottom, we take a whole scene picture. And then after those pictures are taken, then we start handling the evidence.
You stated you saw the cars with voter's registration cards, cash, jewelry, checks. And it was very obviously in plain view, just as this computer is here today, correct?
I don't remember, but
seated right on the chair.
From my remembrance, it was on the chair.
And then you proceeded to, I believe, the police station, and the officer Shoney applied for a search warrant?
Yes.
And then after that, what did you all do?
Sergeant McMahon, Investigator Shoney, and myself went back to the scene and executed the search warrant.
Debbie Summers, are you aware of a hijacking, or what could be considered a hijacking, that I believe may have taken place on October 19th, 20th, sometime around there, outside uptown?
No.
I'm having a hard time. I'd like to inquire as to when you went back to the scene and did the search.
After the search warrant was signed from a Sangamon County judge, we went back to the scene.
And you proceeded to search, and did you search the purse?
I don't remember.
Hearing your report, it states verbatim, during the search warrant outside the RV's doors, we observed the purse that was on Jan Inside the purse, there was a large amount of U.S. currency, numerous pieces of jewelry, checks from ABS that had Tina Loman's name written on it, keys to the stolen Toyota, and Adams County voter's registration card with Christine Loman's name on it. And then you go on. Also, in a suitcase, found a radar detector and court documents with Jan's name on them. This is page 7 of 9 of your Sutton report. It is 0366 deepest copy. Would you know who placed a pill bottle next to that purse, directly next to that purse?
No.
That chair?
No.
But it wasn't there in the beginning, was it?
I do not remember.
And would you relate to us what you did after this? And I would ask that you please go into detail, timing, actions taken.
Judge objection, calls for a narrative compound question.
Would you relate to the objection? Would you relate to us what you did after that?
Objection, calls for a narrative.
Was it given to the objection for the same grounds? What did you do after?
After we did executed the search warrant?
After you initially started the search warrant.
Objection. It still calls for a narrative, Your Honor. We need something more specific for this witness to answer the question.
Can you go into detail the procedure of the search?
We searched the outside and inside the RV and took evidence.
And do you recall what evidence you took?
The items on the chair. Inside the RV, I believe we found some more U.S. currency, a gold watch, a purse, and I believe an ID, but I don't remember what ID that was.
Debbie Summers, which of you took the picture?
I know I did it. I don't know who did.
Do you recall a Burlington receipt? A Burlington department store receipt?
No.
Items recovered from Jan Blackledge. That wouldn't be stuff you found at the scene, would it? That would be things you found on a person, right?
The items.
Items recovered from Jan and Blackledge?
I mean, they were at the scene of where the defendant was apprehended.
But they would be different than what's recovered on a person.
I don't think I don't understand your question.
Items recovered from a defendant. If a defendant's found in a scene, and then he is taken to a police station, and you later come up to search the scene, the items found on the person at the police station would be different than the items found at the scene, right?
Well, the items at the scene would stay at the scene, and the items on the... I mean, the items on a defendant would... I don't know what they did with them.
They went to the police department. Do you recall what kind of cell phone you have as far as your department cell phone?
It's an iPhone.
And do you remember the brand or, I mean, the model?
At that time, I have a new one now. I don't remember what brand we had then.
Did you observe a rose on scene?
Not that I remember.
That's all I have, Your Honor.
Any cross? Tell Your Honor.
Any further witnesses, John? Your Honor, I do. However, I'm not ready for them yet. I need to inquire with Sheriff Wagner and Mexijewski. Also, I need to take up an issue of very high relevance concerning his case. That would be outside the jury. That's very important, Your Honor. It's in reference to evidence, items, and pictures.
Well, Mr. Young, if we're going to take it up outside the hearing of the jury, let's wait. We'll do so outside the hearing of the jury. They are still here. And so, you can adjourn for the day.
Young, do you have an issue to raise? Your Honor, last night I noticed some very disturbing things. Well, these are in reference to sexual assault issues. Judge, I believe there needs to be something done about these sexual assault pictures. The state's attorney stated that I've seen them several times. Your Honor, I've seen different pictures at least two different times. And then the ones that were presented yesterday were not a Christine Lum. I don't care who testified of them. There were a couple that I am for sure, without a doubt, that were not Christine Lum.
Which pictures, Mr. Yaw? Let's identify them for the record.
Your Honor, they're vaginal pictures.
Do you have the people's exhibits numbers that we can reference for the record?
So no, Your Honor, but Judge, we can help with that. Judge, the photos in question are, I believe, People's 31 and People's 32.
Your Honor, there was the first time I observed these, there were several more than this, and they were completely different than what we meet here from Bangor. I would suggest potentially courts with all attorneys involved do an in-camera session or something to determine this, because I have pictures not of the genital area from the sex assault exam, but I have pictures here that are completely different than what one has shown on this screen here. There's no reason they should be completely different, Your Honor. I think relevant something that needs to be addressed and something needs to be done about it. And I also have other pictures, though they may be disturbing, I have other pictures from a later time that also show that these are from the same person. There's specific issues with that area that prove this. And I'm not going to say anything out loud because I don't want to offend anybody here today. But
Mr. Jones, care to respond to the allegation?
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm dumbfounded. I'll say that. I'll start with that. One, Jacqueline Oglesby testified in open court that the photographs were photographs that she took, specifically People's 31 and 32 were photographs of the victim. Two, the defendant had every opportunity to cross-examine her on that, and he did not do that. They were admitted into evidence, and again, Jacqueline Oglesby, under oath, said they were of the victim in this case. Three, the defendant has seen those photos numerous times. We did not provide him copies of them because of the sensitive nature. We've addressed that with the court and with this defendant multiple times. He's asked to see them multiple times, and each time Ms. Keck and I have gone down to the jail or gone over to the jail and shown him those photos and given him ample time to look at those photos. Are there more photos of her genitalia? Absolutely. We chose to use two because of the graphic nature of them. So he's right. There are more. We didn't use any more than the two that we use because of the graphic nature of them. That was our choice as trial strategy. That doesn't mean that they aren't of her, especially when the court has found the appropriate foundation has been laid and a witness testified as to that foundation. I don't know what the defendant's trying to do here now, Your Honor, but frankly, it's not the right time, it's not the right place, and I'll stop there.
All right, so Mr. Young, having heard the arguments of yourself and the state, the time to have objected to anything about People's Exhibits number 31 and number 32 was when the witness, Oglesby, was testifying, and she did testify to the foundation, identified those photographs of as the photograph she took of CL, of the injuries resulting from the sexual assault, as well as the photographs were identified by Dr. Kagumba as the photograph she had reviewed of the initial injuries, and then basically that were healing of that sexual assault. And so, quite frankly, the water's run under the bridge already, Mr. Yon, and so there's nothing I can do about that. They're admitted without your objection. They will remain admitted without your objection.
I have not been disclosed in photos, as you say.
And again, Mr. Yon, the time to have objected even on that grounds passed when those witnesses were here to testify, and you did not object to those being admitted. It's too late.
Because I did not know, Your Honor.
You were in the courtroom, sir.
I have not seen.
All right. You were in the courtroom during the testimony and with the exhibits. They're admitted. Any other issue, Mr. Yon?
Interviewing witnesses.
It's the same answer I had for you yesterday, sir.
And we spoke on that today and determined that we proceed further into that.
What were we proceeding further into?
Well, I had indicated, Your Honor, that this morning I had indicated that I was willing to go speak with Ms. Blockledge again and to inquire whether or not she would do that. Frankly, I'm not sure that I'm in the mood to do that, but I will still do that because I don't want this defendant to feel like he's being treated unfairly.
All right. So Mr. Jones will likely be accompanied by Ms. Keck as well as a law enforcement officer to visit with Ms. Blackledge to see if she's changed her mind from the last evening and wishes to speak with you or not. And then they'll facilitate that if she does so desire.
We will, Your Honor.
Your Honor, did the same thing. He didn't commit to leave. That's only such a foundation, true.
Mr. Jones and Ms. Keck are officers of this court, sir, and so they have a ethical obligation as officers of the court to be truthful with this court. And we had testimony this morning to back up the representations that were made.
Yes, sir.
That's about the best I can do, sir. I'm not going to go ask her because I'm not a witness in this case. I've got to be the judge. Okay? Anything else, Mr. Young?
Hey there, podcast enthusiasts. Are you tapping into the potential of podcasting to boost your brand? Here's something remarkable. 67% of the U.S. population tunes into podcasts. That's not just listeners, it's a community. And let me tell you, the emotional bond between listeners and their favorite podcasts is stronger than ever. Don't just take our word for it. Visit CatsDigital.com to explore success stories from advertisers who trust podcasting to deliver results. Discover more at KATZDigital.com.